Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
River,
Mitzi,
and Annie.
We all attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is OxyContin awareness. This week, students at our school spent an entire day listening to presentations about the use of OxyContin among high school students. The tragedies which occurred to several students and former students in the past year led to this special day of education. Oxycodone is an opioid analgesic medication synthesized from opium-derived thebaine. It was developed in 1916 in Germany as one of several new semi-synthetic opioids in an attempt to improve on the existing opiates and opioids, morphine, heroin, and codeine. Oxycodone oral medications are generally prescribed for the relief of moderate to severe pain. OxyContin is Purdue Pharma's brand for time-released single-ingredients oxycodone oral medication. Students were introduced to various professional and community members during an assembly. They then moved to different classrooms to get information from the presenters. Peer counselors talked with the students about the resources available to them and their friends if substance abuse was a problem. They also led a discussion on how to improve drug education in the schools and their work with younger students. Ron, a counselor, introduced two community members who have family members currently addicted to OxyContin. They spoke about the pain caused by the addiction and the difficulties in getting addicts to accept help. They also spoke of the deaths in the community from OxyContin. Sheriffs Matt Kindle and Mike Davis gave specific information about addiction to narcotics and their serious concern about the rising rate of abuse among youth in the community. They pointed out how a little pill containing narcotics does not hold the same stigma that shooting heroin does, yet OxyContin is equally addictive and often leads to heroin because it is cheaper. Also that the primary abusers of the drug are all under the age of 18, excuse me. Candy is a counselor at Long Valley Health Center. She explained how brain chemistry works and how the use of OxyContin leaves the user needing more in the days after occasional use. She also spoke about overdosing and the importance of getting help before someone dies. She pointed out that the health center is open to helping anyone in the community who is struggling with drug addiction. Roland Spence of Healthy Start, a former host of Youth Speaks Out, presented a video about a 21-year-old man in Santa Rosa who was addicted to smoking OxyContin. The video is from a television program called Addicted on the Learning Channel and shows how devastating Oxy addiction is, including the pain felt by the addict's family and friends who want to help him move to a rehab center. Ibe and Bimpe are pharmacists who explained what OxyContin is prescribed for, how it works, and the dangerous consequences of abuse. The addiction potential is extremely high, and it is disturbing that so many young people are experimenting with narcotics. We are going to listen to some recorded sections of the presentations. After that, we will discuss what we learned from OxyContin Awareness Day and why we are so concerned about the use of narcotics among our youth. Then we will open the phone lines for your questions and comments. We are at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. We will begin by listening to Ron, a counselor, and two community members who have been struggling to get family members away from their addiction to OxyContin.
You know what OxyContin is? You know it's a painkiller. So if you're selling OxyContin, you know what you're promising? You're promising no pain. OxyContin promises no pain and creates huge pain, unimaginable pain, to the people who are using it, to the people who love them, and really to the whole community, to the innocent people who get a head-on out on somewhere on Highway 101, 3 o'clock in the morning, because somebody needed to get high. There's nobody in Laytonville who has not experienced incredible pain in the last 14 or 15 months from beautiful, beautiful young people who are dead.
Man, this Oxy thing is, man, it's
it's a wake-up call. Man, it is real. It's like, as Melissa said, it's to watch somebody, you know, killing themselves. My partner, man, just, and I just was seeing her too, like, just lately, you know, and watching her, and she's from here, and man, she's healthy young lady was at the time, man. She's like this bony, man. I seen her the other day. There's nothing there. It's all about hurt, what I've seen. It's always the first, before anything, it's all about hurt. Somebody gets hurt, somebody gets, it's pain, you know, and it's life stuff, you know. It's just, we just buried some youngsters, man. You know, a little Gene, you know, everybody that I know that's on it, they're hurt and they're busted up inside and they're just, and then that oxy, so I guess, I don't know, but what I see, it takes all that crap away, man, and you know, makes you not want to, you know, do any of that, you know, feel the pain, you know. You know, no one want to hurt anymore. I mean, no one does want to hurt, but here we are. We're hurt, man, and hurt is part of, you know, that's life, man. Life is good, and life hurts, and life, you know, life sucks sometimes. This is the new, this is OxyContin. This is black and white. This is OxyContin. And you know, this is it. This, you know, and I even said to her one time, too, because he was in the meth before, too, when I was done. You know what, this is, and I meant it in my heart. I can't believe it. I don't like that either with her. I said, man, I almost wish you'd go back to meth. I told her that, man, I wish you'd just, and I meant it in my heart. That's hard. And this is just, and this is OxyContin.
I'm dealing with my brother who's strung out on OxyContin. I also have three cousins who are strung out on OxyContin. One of my cousins recently, about a month ago, overdosed. Luckily, he was found about 5 minutes before we wouldn't have been able to bring him back. So they were able to save him this time. Currently, he's strung out on not only OxyContin, but methadone, because that's what they put you on in some clinics to get you off of OxyContin. And on top of that, now he's taking Suboxone. To get off methadone. And it breaks my heart because my brother is slowly, like, dying in front of me. And that's really hard to watch. So the first time we put him into rehab, he agreed to a detox. And he detoxed for 5 days, and then he left.
There.
And he came home, and he was clean for about a month, and then he disappeared. You know, it's just really hard because I always wonder if I would have spoke up the first time, if I would have saved his life, possibly. And the hardest part about it is that I wake up every morning wondering if he's alive. Because I don't know where he's at. I don't know where he's sleeping. I don't know if he has a bed. He could be sleeping in his truck. If you guys know anybody who's abusing OxyContin, or if you have a parent, family member who's abusing, to speak up and ask them to get help, because your voice does matter, because you matter to them.
So do you think that people who take drugs, do you think they really know, like, how it's affecting them? Or do you think that they just know, but they're so addicted that they just can't stop?
There's a certain element of the population that probably, I mean, that chemically are not in equilibrium the way the rest of maybe people are, and they need the drugs in order to maintain that equilibrium. I mean, it's satisfying a need that the human body isn't providing, you know. So, I mean, there's a certain set of people that are actually probably, you know, more miserable without it, or it could be, you know, psychotic without it or whatever. So it's not a simple thing where it's just sort of a yes or no for drugs. There's a good there is a way that drugs can help people, you know.
One thing I'd say is, I don't think all people take drugs to escape. I think some people take drugs to get somewhere. They use it as a tool to evolve their consciousness. And that was, I mean, in the 60s, that's why people started taking drugs, because people wanted to break their mindset that had been imposed on them and they felt trapped by. And they found substances were a way to see outside the box. And each generation changes. You guys are the result of the culture evolving through that period. So there's more of that awareness, even the term out of the box. If you said that in the mid-60s, people go, what do you mean out of the box, you know?
I think we're talking about use versus abuse, which is that really weird gray area. For some people, you know, they can just use it, and they can just use the drug every now and then to enlighten them and go on the way other cultures have always used drugs, you know, ceremonially to go to another place. And that's more of a, just a use of the drug. And it never turns to this addictive thing where it starts becoming something that takes over their life and they stop doing the things they do and their relationship changes. And that's when it shifts over to abuse. And everybody's genetic constitution is different. I think if people had a firmer understanding of addictive, what addiction is, physiologically, what happens in the body when you become addicted, and start to be able to look at themselves, because addictions can be things other than drugs too. You know, people get addicted to it, you know, humans get addicted to all kinds of things. And it's a really damaging thing. Whenever they become addicted, it usually goes negative. It usually affects them negatively. The health class is the obvious place to have direct medications. You know, everyone has to take health.
Do a whole order.
And, you know, it, I mean, as a regular formal way to just present information, and then there also ought to be some other gatherings of speakers and whatnot, but that's just sort of an obvious place to...
If there were better health books, because basically I read that health book was like, drugs are bad, don't do them, and didn't give you too many reasons. I mean, it gave you a few effects on the health, but didn't really go into them. So if there was better health books...
You know, by the way, Laytonville isn't the only place that has a crisis with OxyContin. I mean, it's all over. Ukiah has a huge problem with it. I mean, Fresno has a big problem with it. It's all over.
There's a number now that kids can call if they need help and they don't know where to turn. It's called 211.
It's like a universal, like you can call for anything. You're in a rut.
But if they're looking for jobs or childcare or housing or just any questions.
During my time working in narcotics, I worked mostly heroin, methamphetamine, and prescriptions. Okay, we call them diversions. The reason why they're called diversions is because prescription medications diverted from the legal market to the illicit market is a huge problem in the United States. A narcotic does three things. First, a narcotic is an analgesic, and an analgesic is something that stops pain. It kills pain, right? Secondly, a narcotic causes addiction, okay? And it's a physical addiction. It is not a mental addiction. It's actually a physical addiction. And extreme use of it, if you get off of it, is going to cause withdrawal. And withdrawal is a terrible, awful thing. The third thing that a narcotic, the third quality that it has, is the use of any other narcotic will stop you from withdrawing. One of the main issues that we're so concerned about OxyContin with is this. Probably the biggest percentage of heroin addicts I've run into in my life have been over the age of 25, although a few years ago I ran into one who was 18 years old and he was track marks from his wrist to his shoulder. That's an extreme case. I've rarely seen that. I've seen maybe two or three of those in 20 years. The biggest portion of people who are under the influence of heroin or using heroin on a daily basis, I would say, are somewhere between 28 and 50. Just from my experience. I don't think that I have run into maybe three or four people over the age of 30 who are using oxys, and I've run into probably 30 times that many under the age of 18. So the big concern, especially for us right now, is that OxyContin is becoming a youthful drug, and that is the main problem here. What this stuff does, like heroin, is it's a especially when they find a way to, rather than use it as a time-release medicine as it was intended, but to get the entire bang, it's a narcotic analgesic. And what it does, it's a euphoria. It's a feeling that you can't get anywhere else. And it's a great feeling. There's no way around it. It is. But what it does is it affects your body's ability to produce the things that normally regulate mood and make you happy. Dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. It's like everything else. If you take anabolic steroids and build up and get some huge muscles, well, your body's going to quit producing that same amount of testosterone and other things that help you produce muscle, and it will affect your body. You stop taking it, and all of a sudden, You know, the things that ordinarily should be in your body aren't there because your body hasn't needed to produce it. And it's the same thing with dopamine and other chemicals within your body that regulate mood. When they don't have this stuff, it's not like some other things that are purely psychological. It's a very physical problem. Most of these people who are hooked on OxyContin will eventually go to heroin because they cannot afford to stay on OxyContin. I think that America's youth is beginning to get into this because you aren't going to a shooting gallery. Oxy, it's like taking a Tic Tac. A lot of kids are smoking it, a lot of kids are crushing it and snorting it, but basically they're walking around with what they think are Tic Tacs in their pocket. It's clean. It doesn't carry the stigma with it of using a needle. And a big portion of that simply comes from education due to the diseases that have come from intravenous drug use. So these kids are getting wound up on OxyContin and then in a short amount of time realizing they can't afford to be hooked on it, and therefore they move on to heroin. But by that time, they don't really care that they're walking into a shooting gallery. They need a fix.
Opiate withdrawal is like the worst flu that you've ever had times 10. H1N1 is nothing compared to opiate withdrawal. People will not die in opiate withdrawal. They'll just wish they would. It's intense nausea and vomiting, intense diarrhea, muscle spasms, muscle cramps, aches all over to where it aches into your bones, unbelievable headache, and the symptoms don't go away. They last 7, 10, up to 14 days. And that's another reason why people relapse and use again, because they're so sick. They're so physically sick from the drug. We can safely withdraw somebody locally. We can do it with or without your parents' knowledge or consent. California state law says that at age 13, people can access services related to drugs, addiction, treatment, withdrawal, with or without parental consent. Most people who are using Oxy are also drinking alcohol. It usually happens at parties. And people are dying because their friends think that they're just sleeping off a drunk. If somebody's drunk and passing out, if they're still conscious, talk to them, find out if they took something. If they're no longer conscious, that's beyond alcohol, just sleeping off a drunk. It's either alcohol poisoning or it's an overdose. Check with the other people at the party. Maybe somebody saw them. See if you can find out. When in doubt, assume the worst. It doesn't matter if you know how to do CPR correctly or not. Even if you start CPR and you've never done it before and you don't have a clue and you never took a class, you're going to get it right part of the time, even if you saw it on TV. Even if you're only getting one breath and eight, it's enough to keep that person alive until the paramedics get there. If you're in a place where you can call the paramedics, please call the paramedics. Just call 911. If you're in a situation where you can't be seen or you can't get that kind of help, if you can't save them, dump them so that someone else can. You can dump people off in the parking lot of the health center. You can dump them off at the chief drive-in, at the fire hall. If you're out of town and you can't get to town, dump them alongside Highway 101. I understand that 911 calls are recorded. You still have a few seconds. Use your cell phone, dump them, and simply say, medical emergency, Highway 101, mile marker, wherever. Hang up your cell phone and leave.
The reason why we are talking about OxyContin awareness today is because it's a drug that is widely abused. It is becoming something that is of concern in our society today. Actually, we find out that a lot of drugs are being abused, but OxyContin seems to be the current one right now. And you begin to wonder, why do people abuse medication at all? A lot of people abuse medication because they want to feel good, or they want to feel high, or they want to feel better than what they've been feeling all the while. And that's a little bit of a clash with reality, because the reality is that you can't always feel good. The reality is that you can't always feel high. And using drugs or medications to kind of get that high, it has a lot of effects on the body. It has long-term effects, it has short-term effects. And the one we are looking at today is OxyContin. OxyContin is the brand name for oxycodone. It's a controlled release form of medication. And by being controlled, it means that it doesn't all get released into our system at the same time or at the same rate. It's kind of controlled. You know, if you take OxyContin, it's supposed to be released into the body over a period of about 12 hours. And at 12 hours, the effect, the full effect is supposed to be felt in the body. You find out that when it's being abused, most people don't take it the way it's supposed to be taken. Many times they crack open the cover, the coating on the tablet, so that they can get the effect that they want very fast. Many people tend to, you know, want to get a fast relief or get the high feeling very fast. And that's why they crack it open and, you know, either smoke it or inhale it. They get the effect fast, but they also get the bad effects fast on the body. OxyContin has been, you know, known by so many names. People, some people refer to it as Oxy, some people refer to it as OC, some people refer to it as Oscar, some people refer to it as OxyContin, and other people refer to it as a killer, as killers.
You know what OxyContin is? You know it's a painkiller. So if you're selling OxyContin, you know what you're promising? You're promising no pain. OxyContin promises no pain and creates huge pain, unimaginable pain, to the people who are using it, to the people who love them, and really to the whole community, to the innocent people who get a head on out on somewhere on Highway 101, 3 o'clock in the morning, because somebody needed to get high. There's nobody in Laytonville who has not experienced incredible pain in the last 14 or 15 months from beautiful, beautiful young people who are dead.
So those were excerpts from OxyContin Awareness Day, which was held at Laytonville High School this past week. The speakers were counselors, pharmacists, sheriffs, peer counselors, and community members who spent the day educating the students about the narcotic drug OxyContin. We are going to spend some time discussing what we learned and also how we think OxyContin has affected the youth in our community. After a while, we will open the phone lines for your questions and comments. We are at the Willits Studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. Mitzi, what parts of the presentation affected you the most?
I think the stories from our own community members were the most effective. Like, you could actually see how much it affected them and how much just seeing their family members go through OxyContin was, I mean, you could see how much it hurt them. And I think it really made all my classmates think twice about whether or not they would want to do it. I know River and you, Jenny, you guys had to, you guys did peer counseling the whole time, so you guys didn't get to go to the different workshops and rooms. But Hanani, what part did you think was the most effective?
Like you said, I think the part where people from our community were discussing about how it has affected them, just seeing your family members being addicted to it. And then I also like the part where they talked about the different chemicals produced by the body to help you be happy or have energy or, you know, just be stable. And people who take this, like, when they take it, the body doesn't produce those chemicals again. So it's like, okay, since someone else is doing the job, I'll stop doing the job. And then somebody just wakes up in the morning and you don't even feel happy because the day is bright or anything. You're just neutral. You're not happy. You're not angry. You're just, you know, it's really sad. Like, I never knew any of these kind of things happen. I never even really knew the body produces these chemicals to make you happy or sad or just have different moods. But, like, wondering how somebody would live without having different moods. Yeah.
You become reliant on it. It's a horrible drug, and once you don't have your fix, as he was saying, once you're once you're set on that, there's it would basically be living like without living with without waking up or something. You know, it's something that you're used to, something that's normal, something that happens every day, and it'd be basically like taking away a part of yourself. And I think that's what hits home for a lot of people, is that they're lacking something.
Yeah. For River and me, this was the first time we listened to the other parts of the presentations. And just the very beginning part, when somebody said OxyContin promises pain but creates... Excuse me, no, OxyContin promises no pain but creates huge amounts of pain. I thought that was really powerful because... It is so true. Like, you buy this stuff because you want to feel good and you don't want to hurt, but then it does create so much, not only emotional pain, but physical pain too, especially if you're going to try to get off of it. So I thought that was really powerful.
Yeah, like the sheriff said, like when most people take it and then the first time they feel very high and excited and all of that, and then they keep taking it, trying to get as high as they were before, but it never really happens. They can never be as high as they were when they took it the first time.
I think the really good thing about the speakers were that it hits so close to home. You know, a lot of people might not really talk about it or something, but once people actually speak up about it, and once they put it in people's view, it becomes a lot more substantial. It becomes a lot more real. And when that happened, probably for a lot of people, it really brought home the points that a lot of the other presenters were trying to get at.
And during part of the presentation, we also watched a video about a boy or a 21-year-old man in Santa Rosa. And the video was on his life. It kind of filmed him going through a normal day. And you could really see how much Oxy like affects you. I mean, he had to, before even getting out of bed, he had to smoke some because his whole life revolved around it. He said that to get through the day, he had to sell a pill in order to get money. And it's just, I mean, that's the life he chose. I mean, he started, and it's just so hard to get off of it.
Yeah, because like it's so expensive, and then you just realize that the amount of money you wouldn't spend on buying it. It's like you just use up all the money you have, and then when you finish using it, you have to keep finding different ways to get more money, to get more. So it's really like a very expensive way of life. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like a gold mine for drug dealers as well. You know, $60 to $80 a pill, they were saying. That's extreme. Like a pound of that is $8,000 or even more, like $100,000. It's insane how much it costs. And once people get addicted, they need more of it. And no matter what the expense, actually, at some point they convert to heroin because it's cheaper and it gives them the same sort of feeling. So
I definitely think that this it was on Friday, was the OxyContin Awareness Day, and I definitely think it was an eye-opener to a lot of people. And so we just want to say thank you to Jama Shields for coordinating this and Healthy Start. She's coordinated so many of these HIV and STD presentations and OxyContin. And also thanks to Mrs. Joni Potter and Dan Ruggelbruggy, our superintendent and vice principal of Laytonville High School. Part of the clip, somebody also said that there is a certain amount of people in the population who need this kind of drug, and so by eliminating it altogether, you know, there's still people out there who really actually need this drug to survive and to live. And so I thought that was a good point, just because, you know, just because we say, you know, OxyContin is bad. It is a prescription drug. And so there are people out there who do need this drug. And I thought that was a good point that somebody made.
Mm-hmm. On another hand, I think the drug companies are obviously doing something pretty wrong, because people are really addicted to it, and if they don't need it anymore, they're still going to need that fix afterwards. It's highly addictive. It's really messes up your sense of reality, and it's really bad for you. So I don't know. I think there something needs to be done in that regard.
And it being a prescription drug just makes it even worse. I mean, it's a drug for cancer, and it really helps with that. But I mean, it makes it so available. I mean, you could probably find it. I mean, if one of your family members uses it as a prescription, you can probably find it in your parents' like drug cabinet or something, in like medicine cabinet. And it's so available. It's like such a temptation.
And then people might create an increase in crime as well. I know there was a robbery from a pharmacy where a lady stole a whole bunch of Oxycontin, and it's probably still out there in circulation. And people will need more and more of it, and when it becomes less and less available, or if it does come less available, people are really going to be hurting. So.
Yeah, like the sheriffs were saying, it looks like TikToks, and you know, it doesn't look harmful just doing it like that, because people think, well, I'm not really doing drugs since I don't have to use needles and all of that. But like taking it like TikToks, and just like they feel it's safer to take something like that instead of using needles and then getting infected, or you know, things like that.
My understanding of the video is that once it would go through his life, he went to rehab like three times or two times.
It was three times.
Three times, and each time he would go back to it, and just showed how messed up his life is. And you can actually watch that video. The video can be streamed at TLCDiscoveryChannel.com TV Addicted. And research, just look into OxyContin, or and you should come up with some results. So,
We were also talking about this ahead of time or before the show. Somebody also mentioned it during the clip that we had just a couple minutes ago. That there's a phone number 211. It's kind of like a hotline that you can call if ever you need help with what was it, housing or finding a job or
food
or anything like that. The number is 211, and it's a hotline. So I thought that was an important part of the clip too, where somebody mentioned that number.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places, I mean, a lot of people you can go to, because I know it's probably hard to talk to people sometimes, and you don't know what to do if you're addicted. And like Healthy Starts there, and their phone number is 984-8089. And there's a lot of people in the community that are willing to help.
I mean, one of the best things you can do for OxyContin is if you see somebody addicted, do your best to help them out. Or if that's not working, just refer them to somebody who really knows, who's really dealt with this. I know rehab's pretty hard, but it's really worth it once if you save that one life, or if you get somebody off and they're able to have kids and be responsible and love their family. So it's really a growing issue, especially in the young generation. Check in with your kids, make sure they're okay. So
one thing that, I mean, going back to the fact that like it was the first time I listened to this clip, because I was a peer counselor and I was working a different area, so I didn't get to go around to listen to these presentations, was, I mean, this really just like struck out at me, was that heroin, somebody mentioned how heroin users were like, the majority was between the ages of 28 and 50, where Oxy affects the younger people. And it was just like, it was really weird, because in a way OxyContin and heroin are so alike, but they affect like a different age group. And did you guys find that just kind of weird?
Yeah, well, it seemed like Oxy is so much cleaner. You don't have like, you can't see that you've been shooting up, or you can't, I mean, yeah. It's like a pill that you can either, like, snort or smoke.
Tic-tac is what somebody
described. And I think that the younger generations, or, like, younger kids are taking it because they want to try it, but they're scared of people finding out. I mean, you could probably tell if someone's been taking it, but it's just, they think it's cleaner, but then by the time that you get older and Oxy's just sucking up your money, then I think they're just, they don't know what to do, so they turn to heroin. So,
both River and I were peer counselors on Friday, and we talked about kind of how drugs affect our community and what our ideal school would be like, what our ideal community would be like, and there were a lot of really good suggestions. And the fact that we have a lot of activities after school, and like sports and stuff like that, I think that does draw a large amount of the kids away from doing those kind of drugs. Mitzi and Hanani, what were some suggestions that you guys had for making your ideal school, your ideal community?
Well, I know something my group came up with was laser tag. It was, I think it was more of just an idea, but it's just something that the whole, I mean, our school can, like, play together. I mean, I don't know if everybody would want to play laser tag, but I think it's just something that to bring our school, like, closer and just take our minds off of things that we could do if we were bored.
Just on a side note, I just want to mention that every single group suggested laser tag, and I don't know if it's something that we all, like, thought of, but...
And what laser tag basically is, it's like you have these sensors, and you have these little lasers, and you hit different parts of the body, and then there's like beeping or something, and then you're out or something like that. I don't know if that would be even allowed at school.
Hanani, we were in different groups. What did your group come up with, anything different? Like,
yeah, I think they wanted a community theater, and I think the other thing was a pool. Yeah, a community pool. Or I don't know whether it was for the school or for the community, but I think there was a pool, and there may be some sports during lunch.
Yeah. And how this all ties in is basically, I think a lot of the problem is in Laytonville is we don't seem to have a lot to do, and I know Healthy Start is doing a whole bunch of stuff to get kids active, but really, a lot of people just revert to drugs because there's really not a lot to do in town. And so Oxycontin's a way out of a small town where there's only a few people, and there's not like a whole lot of bowling alleys or like movie theaters or anything like that. So, and I think it's also a reflection on our generation as well, that we can't, that we have a really hard time finding fun things to do.
Yeah, and like, they were saying it's like when people start doing like Oxycontin, it's because of peer pressure. So, you know, if you have like other activities to do, you may not even really have time to think of like doing drugs or, you know, all these kind of things, because there will be more activities to concentrate on. And then when you finish, you're even tired, you want to go home and rest, and, you know, so you don't...
You don't do anything.
And I think it might even be just the problems that that everybody's having right now. I mean, because, I mean, Ukiah's not that big either, but it was a big problem in Ukiah too, and it's definitely bigger than Laytonville, and there's more things to do. But I think that it's just everybody's, it's affecting everybody.
I also think that, you know, every generation has their own problems. There's this quote that's like, stop complaining about our generation, your generation raised us. So it's kind of like different generations have their own problems, and it's just really unfortunate that this generation is just so into Oxycontin and drugs. And
yeah. And what's happened with each generation is education in the high school and in middle school, if the people are more educated, realize what it does to them, then they're like, whoa, let's take a step back and reflect on what's happening right now, because it's honestly probably not what I want to be doing when I'm 50. you know, or when I have kids or family, it's absolutely insane. So really, when you take a step in high school to prevent things before they actually start happening, then I think that's probably the best step that you can take.
Yeah, and I think it would be it sounds weird, but I think it would be a good idea to inform younger kids about it, because it said kids that were younger young kids are even doing it, and it's like, you know that it's bad for you, but you probably don't know how bad. I mean, we were learning about how even if you take it once, it kills so many of the, I don't know what they were, but they're just the chemicals in your body that make you feel better when you get hurt. I mean, it kills so many of those that even taking it once is just so bad for you.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. The other day, I was driving somewhere, and I saw this like 7 or 8 year old, 8 year little boy, like smoking.
Oh my god!
And smoking, I think either pot or like a cigarette. But it's just like, I was stunned. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really not good. That kid's gonna be messed up if he keeps on going the path he's going. So
we're going to open the phone lines now. Excuse me. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about young people and the use of OxyContin in our community. Did you know that there is a growing problem with teenagers and the use of narcotics here in Mendocino County? Should educating teenagers about how drugs work be an important part of our schools? Can discussing drugs with youth end up encouraging them to experiment with them? If you have children, how do you educate them about the dangers of some substances? Do you think that this is just youthful experimentation? Did you know that young people in our community have died from pharmaceutical drugs? If students were using heroin, would you be more concerned? Have you or a family member ever been addicted to a substance? How did you deal with it? What did you think could have been done to prevent young people from abusing potentially fatal substances? If you were involved in schools, do you think that there is a growing problem with the use of narcotics like OxyContin, Percocets, and Vicodin? Is your school making an effort to inform the students of the risks involved with these substances? Please speak with us and the listening community about OxyContin and youth. We all need to hear each other's experiences and ideas about these subjects. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Your input is what community radio is all about. Where else can you have a public conversation with the youth in our county? Please call in. How did you guys feel the students or like people coming through your guys' peer counseling workshop, or I don't know what it's called, but how did that, I mean, because they came from different places, did they seem more informed by, like, about Oxy?
Yeah, well,
could you guys tell or something?
No, they seem pretty tired, but or just kind of like talk to us and we'll listen. And I think that's what a whole lot of the presentation is they're expecting you to tell them information. They'll store some things that are memorable, and that's about all we can ask for, is that little bit of information to be stored away somewhere so that they remember that next time they're thinking about doing some sort of substance.
Well, I also think that because the peer counselors, what we did was kind of different. We talked about what our ideal school would be like, what, you know, it's kind of more general, so they weren't really able to apply what they learned, I think, directly. But I think everything was so helpful that day. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for this very important education that the youth of Mendocino County are doing. I live here in Willis, and I also work in a school district. My question to you is, I tuned in late, so could you review the signs of addiction, either like an adult or a youth? And I'll take my answer off air.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, caller.
The physical warning signs are extreme loss of appetite and weight, constricted pinpoint pupils, or constricted pupils, watery or sunken eyes, poor complexion or sickly appearance, constipation, drowsiness or falling asleep at odd times, frequently sick, tremors or twitching, and excessive scratching. Some people with this may appear intoxicated with no signs of alcohol. With signs of alcohol use.
You just look so sick, I'm sure. Oh, but thank you, caller, for that question. And also, like heroin, OxyContin is an opiate and will give abusers a high similar to high grade heroin, but with worse consequences. The initial rush is usually accompanied by a warm flushing of the skin, dry mouth, and heavy feeling of extremities. Abusers usually will be drowsy for several hours and experience a sense of euphoria and relaxation. Mental function is clouded by the effect on the central nervous system, cardiac and respiratory function slow, and speech may be slurred. These symptoms may be accompanied with nausea, vomiting, and severe itching.
You know, also the best thing you can do is... I think if it's to that point where you can see the extremities, it's a little late. It's pretty late. You just gotta if you hear somebody talking about it, or if you hear somebody, or somebody's giving you a shifty look if they're talking to somebody about something. I don't know. Okay. You should just be like, "Are you on drugs?" No, I'm joking. But just make sure.
Yeah. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. It might be a little noisy because I'm on a payphone, but I'd like to know how early you all think education should start in the school system. How early do you think you could have received the information and had it make a difference about drugs like OxyContin? And I'll listen off the phone. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Thank you. Do you want to just go down the line and kind of give our...
Sure.
Do you want to start, Hanani? How early do you think drug education should be?
I think as early as middle school, because like that's when your habits are forming. So you know beforehand that this is wrong, or this is bad, and you don't, you know, start doing it.
Yeah, I also think middle school. I mean, I don't think that you kids really earlier than that should... be informed about it. I mean, you probably know about it, but I think you should really know the bad effects about it by the time you're in middle school.
Yeah, I'm a little extreme here. I think in maybe like third grade, if in a really innocent form, if kids were at least told about how to recognize the signs, and if their parents were doing it, then that'd be good. But yeah, definitely by middle school at least.
I agree in middle school. I think that I mean, when I was in middle school, I don't think I even knew like what OxyContin was, what an STD was. It was kind of, and I don't know if that's changed. I mean, I've heard it's changed. I've heard that, you know, people are know all about this stuff in middle school, but I definitely think that like once you are kind of aware what a drug is, and if you know what's going around and you're kind of tempted, you should definitely know, you know, what a drug is, and definitely OxyContin too. Caller, you're on the air.
You know, I think a very serious problem is that we've got all these, you know, mega drug companies that are making bundles of money, and for it to get diverted, I mean, you go to the doctors here, and if you're in any kind of pain, they very readily say, oh, here, try some Vicodin, try something, you know, all these addictive things. Yeah. Meanwhile, we've got things that, you know, are plants that grow natural that are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a standard that's somewhere off in the dark ages just to promote a pharmaceutical industry. I think that's a very serious problem. And it's all the really addictive stuff. Yet a lot of the natural plants used traditionally for thousands of years for healing, mental and physical healing, are illegal. And, you know, I don't know how people look at this today. And, you know, instead, they're looking at all these drugs somewhere in the line of alcohol. Let's obliterate everything. Let's, you know, rather than say during the 60s, when there was a sort of exploration that was going on. Anyway, if you could discuss some of this. And thank you. This is an excellent show, what you're doing.
Thank you so much. That was a really good point where like, you know, there's different types of drugs, and lots of them are natural. And I think that this reminded me of what somebody said in a clip too, is where, you know, these drugs can be used in different ceremonies, like religious ceremonies or something. So they're not always, they're not always for bad reasons. And so that was a really good point that the caller made. Thank you.
I think with any sort of thing that takes a substitute for a feeling, though, and it gets used over and over again, once you stop doing that, you're still not able to feel it to the same full extent. And I don't know, it just, I think the best drug would be life. Stepping through life one hardship after the next, and some people do need that way out, and I completely understand that. But if you're doing it for fun, or doing it because you need a fix, then it's I don't know, it I know I'm speaking from Mendocino here, but it's just I think really just stepping through life and dealing with the problems is the best way to go.
But I also going back to what the caller said, I definitely you know, see where what he's talking about, where a lot of the time these drugs are, people actually need these drugs, and so I think we have to keep an open mind, and kind of like, we can't put all these drugs in one you know, spot and say, okay, drugs are bad, these are bad, because some people, I think, really need these.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're not abusing it. They just, like, need it, and they use it the way they're supposed to use it, so.
Yes.
During the presentation, we learned that anyone over 13 can get help with drugs without parental notification, and I think in some communities that's really good, because if you started taking a drug but you're afraid to tell your parents, or you're afraid to tell someone close to you, and you really need help and you like want to stop using it but you don't know how to on your own, that's a really good thing. And I know you can go to the health clinic and they can help you.
I just want to know, from callers, once again, our phone number is 456-9991. I just want to know if you guys think that 13 is too young of an age, or if it's too old, or if it should be for anybody of any age. Because initially when I heard, like, 13, the first thing that I thought was that it was kind of young. Like, I remember when I was 13, I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade, so I don't know. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, I just want to tell you once again, you're doing a fabulous show, and I'm really grateful. I grew up in an area that demographically is quite similar to Laytonville without the marijuana, actually with the marijuana, in northern Canada. And there's always been issues of drug addiction and severe alcoholism there. But I've been reading the papers from that little town, which was about the same size as Laytonville, and they have a huge OxyContin problem. Mm-hmm. And there is a doctor working there. Unfortunately, I put the papers in the recycling. But she is working with addicts, and they're coming out of the closet. She's not getting very much support from the local medical community. In other words, she's working outpatients without an office, et cetera. And she's using a drug, starts with an S. It's like the methadone equivalent for OxyContin. Mm-hmm. And it is being very effective in helping people with their withdrawals and getting them off of OxyContin. But one of the statistics that she gave in the article that I was very alarmed by, and I'm wondering if maybe you can speak to this better, maybe it was in the program, is that the longer you've done OxyContin and the older you are, even with this alternative therapy, which is a methadone-like therapy, the chances of ever really getting off the alternative therapy, the more times you've used it and the older you are, the lesser those chances. I will get off the air, but I wonder, was that addressed at all in the conference?
I don't think that was. I mean, River and I weren't able to go to the presentations.
Oh, right.
But Hanani and Mitzi, did you guys? Was that addressed?
No, I don't think so.
And then the other question I had is, you know, it's very different than illicit drugs that are illicit from start to finish. Was there much dialogue, or do y'all know from your experience of living in Laytonville, how do these things get from behind the locked-up box in the hospital or the pharmacy into young people's hands? And that train of activity is something that I don't hear many people talking about. I'll get off the air, and you're really doing a great job. I'm so happy you have this time. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Yeah, we didn't. They talked some about how it got to youth in our community, but I mean, a lot of people. I mean, I know the first one of the pharmacists that we talked to said that sometimes a person would come in with a fake prescription, like if and act like a doctor actually filled it out. But he said that after his years of experience, he could tell when it was fake.
Yeah, because like they have people as
well. Yeah, but. You can, I mean, people steal it and they get it. And probably if someone had a prescription, they probably would save some. If they knew they could sell it, they could save it instead of using it all and sell it to people for a higher price. And
yeah, like Mitzi was saying earlier, some people may steal it from their parents' medicine cabinet, and then their parents may not even know about it.
Some people trade it for pot as well. They trade it for medical marijuana, and that's a big thing right now, is trading drugs for one another.
I just think that the fact that it's a prescription drug where you can just walk into your kitchen and open up the cabinet and you know it might be there, and it's just, it's not something where you kind of, it's like in the back alleyway and you have to get it that way. It's just, it seems so readily available because it's just, you know, your parents might have it or something. So, but those were really good points that the callers made.
Thank you all again.
That is all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Mitzi, and
Hanani,
River,
and Jenny. Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of the show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are very important to us. We were happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Our next show will be on the last Saturday of May, the 30th, at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the end of next month.
And just, for the very end, once again, thank you to Jameis Shields for putting this together, and Mrs. Potter and Mr. Regobrecki. Thank you.